Airtime Prime.
All right, guys, this is our fourth episode. Welcome back to Airtime Prime. And today we'll start from, where should we start from?
From scratch.
From scratch. Today's Monday. The hot topic is a vaccine.
The hot topic. Are we going to introduce our guest?
Let's introduce our guest in a sec, but let's
don't worry. We're going to talk about a hot topic and introduce it after.
So, all right. So today, hot topic is a vaccine. But will you take the vaccine even you're not affected? And you know that your family not affected, or nothing like in your environment that you know has been.
Bro, listen, I'm trying to get a vaccine. I'm trying to get a chip. I'm trying to get the Neuralink. Listen, anything you want to give me, just shout me. Like, you get me. Elon Musk, get in touch with me. I'm trying to get everything, man. Like, Bill Gates, shout me. Like, trust me, I'm on it, man.
Yeah. Anyway, let's introduce our guest. Our guest is today. His name is Anthony Ant. He's a musician. He's a producer. And also, he creates incredible music. I believe you should check him out. And welcome, Anthony Ant.
I love the intro, man.
Yeah?
That was nice. That warmed my heart.
Yeah. Nah, thanks for coming today. Yeah,
do you believe everything you said, though?
Yeah, I believe in everything I said.
That's the most important thing, but I appreciate
it.
I think I think you're more than that. I think you're more than just musician and all these other things you said. I think you're a human being, bro.
Safe, man.
And even before I get into this, I have interviewed him in past. And if you haven't seen it, you should check him out. And then the reason I said he's a musician, because through the interview, I felt like there's something more about him. So today, this is why today I'm trying to break it down. We get into it. Get deeper of it.
It down.
No, when I say breaking down, it's get into a deeper level of him.
Yeah. You're not coming out One Piece.
Ah, okay. Well, like the anime.
Yeah. One Piece. I love that. That's why you do what you do, man.
So tell me a little bit about yourself. Like,
okay, so 29, I'm an East Londoner, always have been. Been doing music since I was, well, I've been writing music since I was 13. I don't know, I felt like music was an outlet for me. And obviously when I was younger, I think what drew me to music was my mum's influence. Obviously playing music throughout the house, different genres. But what I gravitated towards was that hip hop. Because I felt like stories there I could relate to, like Eminem. Then obviously as I got older, Kanye. Then as I got a little bit more older, Kid Cudi. Like certain artists, obviously, I feel that, obviously it's fun to talk about the clothes, the girls, all that stuff. We've all experienced them type of things, or to the extent. But I think with all those artists I've mentioned, I think it ties in deeper. Like there's a deeper meaning as to why they do music. Mm-hmm. And I feel, with a lot of us, I feel like certain artists or certain songs have gotten through, have helped us get through certain situations.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like I want to kind of implement that as well in my own life, like be that for certain people, make music that obviously you can play when you want to have fun, but also if you're going through something, you can listen to it and hopefully it will help you gauge that you're not the only one going through that or have been through that. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, man.
Mm. All right, so when you were 13, what was it? Snap things that happened, you said, I need to write this.
Yeah, I don't know, like you go through them type of things, they're like, oh, you like a girl, she don't like you. I was like, oh shit. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like, I don't know, I felt like I had to kind of like vent it out. I feel like I've always been, I think because I've grown up in a household where it's been, I've only known my mum in it. Like as I've gone older, I've improved on relationship with my dad because he lives in Nigeria. Obviously I'm Nigerian as well, obviously, but I'm British Nigerian. So
this is a third, three different country people, I'll say.
A few different countries that we've come from.
Yeah, yeah. And our first episode, we have from Greek. Third episode, it was from Ghana. When was he? Uganda, actually. Uganda. Now you're Nigerian.
Yeah, man.
It's a nice mix. It's good to have you.
Listen,
that's what London, that's what being in London does as well,
exactly,
isn't it?
Yeah.
We're all multicultural.
I was about to say, just in Newham alone, we have 135 languages.
Crazy.
Yeah, it's insane.
That's crazy.
Wow. Yeah.
That's in a good way. That's sick.
Yeah, back to it. So, what was the snap thing that happened? Because of your mum, your dad?
Yeah, so I felt like as I said in it, like all I kind of knew or have known there for a while was my mum. So my mum playing music and stuff like that helped me kind of like gauge, okay, that music is obviously something that it's a good, it's a fun pastime, but also as well, as I've gotten older, like I felt like I had to kind of maybe find a way to write down or express myself, like what was going on internally. So yeah, I don't know, at that time I was listening to heavily, I thought everyone was obviously, that time I was listening heavily to Graham. Mm-hmm. But the thing with Graham is like my first rap, I can't remember exactly what it was, but it was very crap. Because, well, most of whatever you do first time is going to be kind of like not the best, isn't it? But I feel the reason why it was not the best because I was trying to be something I wasn't. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? When you're young, you're still kind of finding yourself and trying to be this tough guy, yeah. which isn't me. So having that go through trial and error and like realizing like something doesn't feel right here when I kept on writing lyrics about doing things and, I don't know, trying to be something I wasn't until I started to get older and kind of like gauge like what type of artists I like to listen to, like why do I like to listen to them, do you know? And obviously, as I said, as I got older, a bit older, I started to listen to Eminem. And obviously he has a wild side as well, like I mean, but also I think most of his songs, like, well, the ones I resonated to anyway, were the ones where he's talking about issues with his family life, issues with his like his upbringing. Mm-hmm. And the things he's gone through and stuff like that. And I gravitate towards that heavily. And I noticed that that's the type of music I want to make. And as I got older, Kanye, before he went AWOL or whatever, do you know what I mean? And Kid Cudi, like certain artists that I feel that when they rap or they sing or whatever, it's like for a purpose, isn't it? Like it's like almost like a diary entry. Like I'm allowing you into my life kind of thing. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But also as well for me, the main thing about music is the relatability of it. That's the most important thing for me, I think, when it comes to writing music or music I choose to listen to. Like, do I relate or do I feel like alienated from the music? Like, for the most part, obviously, because as I said, you have different moods.
How long have you been writing since you said you've been
13? Yeah.
I've got a question as well after.
Mm. Yeah. So what is the, like, to be in music industry, what is the most challenging thing that you face?
The most challenging thing obviously is obviously making your voice heard, I think, kind of making you yourself unique. Cause I feel like every Tom, Dick and Harry now says they make music, but do you really make music or do you do it for like the wrong purposes kind of thing? Do you know what I mean? So I think, I don't know, it's just kind of making sure you're making your voice heard and making yourself seem like an individual and not just another so-and-so. I mean, that's the most hardest thing I feel. Mm. But I feel like if you, we all individuals at the day. There's no one the same. Apart from music, and I'm talking about human beings. Like we may have like small nuances or small similarities, but none of us are the same. When you can even look down to your siblings, your family, like we're not all the same. So I feel when you tie that into obviously you do music, it should tie in with your identity. I think your artistry should tie in with with you as a human being. Mm-hmm. Even you joked about saying, nah, I'm a human being, but facts.
I wasn't joking, like.
But everyone laughed, didn't it?
I'm dead serious about
but,
that.
Yeah, but like literally, yeah, that's the thing I feel like. Whatever you do, it doesn't have to just be music, but whatever you choose to do, your vocation, the reason why you do it should be obviously like tied into you as a human being. Like, mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? So that's what I try and do like with my music. I try and kind of make myself very vulnerable, which a lot of artists don't tend to do. Cause I see artists that are vulnerable. There's power in vulnerability. Mm-hmm. There's no power in being a macho man all the time. Like we've all cried before.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I cry even
yeah,
now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We've I all cried 2 days ago.
2020. Yeah, I think we should. I think if you haven't, said one tear in 2020, there's something wrong with you.
I wanted Costa make you cry though.
No. It was
of course.
I can't lie. I haven't cried for ages, man.
It's good to let it out. I'll say.
No, but that's the thing. I want to cry, but I just can't get myself to cry, which is kind of crazy.
It's not like heartbroken or anything.
When I said cry, it was overwhelming. It's like a metaphor for sadness, isn't it? You have to drop a tear, but you've all felt sad. Mm. Do you know what I mean? So
yeah.
Have you had like an emotional breakdown? Like,
oh yeah, facts. I think my last project detailed that heavily.
Yeah.
Yeah, because my last project that was called The Urban Disciple, I detailed like a breakdown of a relationship within that. And that was funny enough, you talked about kind of the different languages. Mm. The reason why that relationship broke down was because of race.
Oh
Oh wow. Yeah, cuz she was Asian. Like wow. she was Indian. And obviously I'm black, I'm Nigerian, so yeah, that project detailed the breakdown of that and how that kind of like almost changed my outlook on life as well. So
was it like you guys couldn't be together just because of like cultural differences?
Yeah, facts.
Like was it like mainly because of her family or?
Oh yeah, facts. Yeah.
Was it her family or was it your family?
No, she met my gran.
Wow.
Yeah, she met everyone in my family. That's the only girl that's kind of met everyone in my family that I've kind of introduced. Yeah. So on my side, I feel like us as blacks, I feel like we're very like forgiving, even with what has happened in this year in America. I mean, and obviously the injustices that obviously that transpired here as well. I feel like us as a culture, in terms of the black culture, I feel like we're very open and we have open arms. Even when it comes back down to slavery, I feel like we see like these white colonizers and like we have open arms, not knowing that these guys are coming here to kill us, enslave us, and sell us off. So you know what I mean, I think we've always kind of had this naive
thing.
Yeah,
naive, it's kind of like a gift and a curse at the same time.
Yeah, it is.
It's
yeah,
like,
facts.
It's like, yeah, it just depends. Like,
we don't have ill heart. Yeah, we don't have ill heart, but yeah, I think you know when you hear things like through like the grapevine, but then when you experience yourself, you're like, wow, this is really real, man. Like shit. Like
until you experience it, and you don't know. Even me, I had a mixed race girlfriend, and then my family issue. Her family issue, like we didn't get on together at the end because of the family.
Yeah.
Me and her got on,
whatnot.
But after that, like, cause family got involved, she wanted to see, obviously, when stereotype, like trying to break that stereotype, which was the hardest thing.
And
that's why I believe my relationship didn't work out. It became a poison at the end. Like, it's not healthy for her. It's not healthy for me. So we have to like. That's the
thing though. Shouldn't a relationship be between? Well, no.
It's a family thing.
It's a family thing, but the basis of relationship should be about the people who are in the relationship. That's the basis of the relationship, isn't
bro,
it?
Bro, I don't like relationships because they sink. It's a relationship, isn't it?
Yeah, he's that guy today.
He's one of them.
He's on the roll, isn't it? He thinks he's on the roll since the human being statement.
Hey, listen.
Oh gosh.
Hey, listen. But I've been meaning to ask you something. So through the process of like creating music and like bringing out creativity, like what have you, or like what do you feel like you've developed within yourself going through that process? So for example, like maybe emotional intelligence or just kind of like self-awareness, like what did you develop like and what came out of the process?
I think music definitely gave me like a purpose, like a sense of I know this is what I should be doing, because it's like there's nothing more. Or for me personally, I don't think there's anything more gratifying than knowing someone has listened to something and been able to relate. As I said, I've been able to do that with other artists. Mm-hmm. It's almost like a domino effect. Like I've received something and I'm doing the same thing and people are telling me that you've helped me through certain situations. Like one of my friends, he's like a creative, he's like an artist, like a literal artist. Like he does like designs and has like pieces commissioned and stuff like that. Do you mean to?
Yeah, I can't hear you.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Sorry, man.
Yeah,
I could hear him fine.
Is it better now?
Yeah, it's better now. Go on.
My friend who's an artist, he must have DM'd each other, because obviously this COVID thing has obviously stopped a lot of maybe events and stopped a lot of things happening, even just general meetups. But yeah, he called me a hero, man. I was like, rah, like that's like crazy for me to be like. I'm just feel like I'm just a normal person.
What did you do for him to like?
No, we were just talking. We were just catching up and stuff like that, and. Was telling me how, because obviously I released a song at the end of last month, and we were just talking, catching up, and just DMing each other and stuff like that. And then obviously I was asking, just a casual chat, like asking how his girl is doing, how my life is doing, and you just said, just keep doing you, like bro, you're a hero. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I was like, bro, like, and even like I think was it like last month or something like that, someone like DM'd me and said, the project I was talking about, the Urban Disciple, he's like, oh, like, can you sign it for me? I was like, what? Yeah, I was like, what the hell, man? I was like, that almost brought me to tears, man. I was like, what are you talking about, man?
That's beautiful.
It's like, yeah, it's like, bro, you created a masterpiece. And obviously with that, I felt like, yeah, man. I don't know, with me, there's certain songs that when I listen to them, I find them difficult to listen to. Mm-hmm. And lets me know that, whoa, like, I really like put a piece of myself in the song and stuff, so... With that project, when he DM'd me and said, oh, like, can you sign it for me? I was like, bro, you're taking a piss. I thought, okay, where's the joke now? You're taking a piss. But it was like, no, you created a masterpiece. I mean, so for me to have people like message me like that, said like, I mean, it's just like a reminder, really, like, and it's like a nice kind of, because people that I'm not paying you to say that to me.
Yeah.
you're going out of your way to message me. Like, I'm not, I mean, so for you to say that to me, like, it means the world, man. And when you have days where you feel like, oh, I don't know, I'm not getting, I should be at this level, whatever, I should have this success, like monetary gain. Do you know what I mean? You realize like, this is why you do what you do to have a positive effect on people's lives. You know what I mean? As I've been affected.
You know what, for the creative people that I know, I've been creative for the last two and a half years. Like what I've learned is like, as a creator, you always think about like, how can we do better? How can we process better?
Yeah.
And like we always thinking about why don't we get a million views? Like we compare ourselves with other people.
Yeah, we do. Yeah.
But when we actually create something for ourselves and then deliver to the world, when it affects 5 or 10 people, you achieve what you need to achieve already because you have changed 5 people perspective.
Facts.
Life.
Facts.
So but we listen, don't
facts.
We don't actually think about that because I realized this because when I went traveling, I made a little video about their country, and then the guy was like, "Oh, this is amazing! Like, thank you for making this."
Is it
like,
those pieces you do when you zoom out? Yeah, you see the whole like, it looks flipping. It looks like a film.
Yeah, like
it's amazing.
Yeah. I was so grateful to go out and then make a video for a village, and then they was like, "Oh yeah, this is my village. Thank you for coming." Mm. Blah blah blah. But it was amazing feeling.
Yeah,
that feeling, I can't buy that. I'll tell you, like, you probably feel that through your music.
Yeah, facts.
I felt that through my video making.
Yeah,
like tell a story.
I felt that through my conversations, man.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I ain't trying to be left out here.
No, I'm joking.
That was a joke. Nah, but do you know why I jumped in? Yeah, because I wanted to say that I feel like every single human being is a content producer in one way or another. Anyway,
of course,
it's like now as like everything's evolving, and I'm thinking like, what's the difference between listening to a podcast and listening to a musician on a 3-minute song, an instrumental? That the difference is instrumental, but there's both people are producing some sort of content
of
and
course.
It's coming out. One is RAM, one isn't, and whatever.
Yeah.
But then we do that through just having a conversation. I might have a conversation with my mom. Like she's producing content, I'm producing content.
Mm.
We're adding something up, taking something away from it. I feel like every single person that does something is producing something in one way or another.
Yeah.
Just by, you know, just by living and existing.
Yeah.
And then sharing your experience rather than like staying away from like talking about it.
Yeah, like an emo kid sitting on a bus in on a bus stop not saying anything, he's producing content by not saying anything.
Yeah.
Like someone's thinking about what the person's doing. It's crazy.
It's crazy, isn't it? All right. So what next? I'm stuck. you made me think. You made me think.
Yeah, that's good, man. You need to think, man.
Hmm. Yeah. So like you dropped a recently new tune.
Yeah. On Top.
On Top.
Yeah.
So what is this about? Like what where did you like I know it's about women.
Yeah.
And
it's about a woman, bro. Yeah. Like don't lie to me.
So where did you get that inspiration from? Like when
it's just life, man. Like cause with the song, as I said, like you have songs obviously that are maybe a bit more lighthearted. And songs that obviously maybe they detail something that's a bit more deeper. But I think with this one, it was just a bit, it's like a sultry banger, man. It details obviously like being intimate with a woman, but also as well, if you listen to the verses, it's like trying to kind of like, it's like, you know, the initial stage of kind of approaching a girl, she's not giving you no time, no face, no nothing, and trying to convince her and stuff like that. And then kind of like, I don't know, like kind of
playing
like,
hard.
Yeah,
to get.
Playing hard to get. Yeah, yeah. That's just how it goes. You know, even like when it comes to like say, what do they call it? Is it the position of power or something like that? Like initially, the guy is the one that does the chasing.
Yeah, we like the society made us to chase.
Yeah, no.
But listen,
I think this is how it should be though. I can't lie. How do you feel if a girl approaches you like, "Oh, can I have your number?" I feel gas, but I can't lie.
The times
it's happened to me, I haven't felt attracted to that person.
I'll be confused.
I can't lie. Yeah. After, like, if you compare it to girl times maybe that's happened to you, as opposed to you approaching a girl. Like most of the times, the person you approach is oblivious to you. Mm. You're just amazed by how she looks, hey, or whatever.
But you know what I was gonna say, yeah. You know what I told you? I wanted Neuralink earlier, because you know, like people can just like connect and read their minds and stuff. Listen,
man, that's gonna be crazy.
We're gonna be winning if you get that. We're gonna be winning because the girl's gonna read.
I don't know if I want to read someone's mind. No.
Let's not get into whether we want it or not. Yeah, for the time being, no. But deep it. But you know, I can resonate to what you're saying. You know, sometimes like you might be the best person for this girl. Yeah.
Yeah.
But like sometimes she can't read your mind or. See what you're thinking. 100%. She just thinks that you're one of those other guys just trying to do the same thing.
No. Let's speak facts. I don't know your personality initially. What I'm approaching you for is because of how you look. Yeah. You could be an idiot. Like you could be nothing.
But you want both, right? You want like initially. That's what's making that's you what approach her.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
but 50-50, I'll say. 50-50. You say 50-50.
Yeah, like
look. It's okay.
I want 100-100, bro.
100-100 is okay.
Like to get to 100, you have to have 50-50. Do you know what I mean? The thing is...
I'm all about the 200%, bro.
But what I was saying, though, is like, I think it's a thing where when you approach someone, isn't it? Like, as a guy, in it, you're the one that does the approaching, generally speaking, isn't it? And the girl then, when she looks at you or whatever, she deems whether you're attractive enough or whether she wants to give you any time of day. And then let's say if you do get the girl... That reverses because the guy becomes comfortable and the girl is the one that starts to try and appease the guy, like dressing up nicely, cooking you dinners. Do you know what I mean? That's the position of power. It changes.
Are you loving the girl or are you loving the chase?
I don't love the chase. Like even the girl I'm speaking to now, like I don't like the initial period. Like it's kind of boring because you're repeating the same questions and you're getting the same kind of, you're asking the same questions you've asked how many other girls. What's your favorite color? You know what I mean? I'm being dumb, but you know what I mean? I prefer the stage.
Let me write that one down. No.
Is it orange or yellow? Tell me, man.
So, like, when you're approaching a woman,
yeah,
what's the first thing that you see?
First thing I see.
I really.
No. It's good to know.
Okay, if I'm honest, yeah, the two things I like in a woman, or initially, I like a girl that's quite curvaceous, and I like eyes. I think eyes are the window to the soul.
Of course.
Which one do
you
see first?
You can have
kind
eyes. You can have harsh eyes. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You can look through in there. Yeah.
100%. So
yeah.
Those two things. I do like a curvy woman, and I like eyes. Yeah.
Back to the music.
Okay.
Back to the music.
You liar. You like back.
That's what I was waiting for.
That bare couple was in the BACK. Back.
That's what I was waiting for, my guy.
You're good at what you do, you know. You're good. Anyone ever told you that you're good at what you do?
Now I know.
Oh, man.
Back to
now it's lower B. Before it's capital B, now it's like back to music.
And like the inspiration of writing music.
Yeah.
What's the three process, like creative process that you go through before you start writing or before you go in the studio? Do you go into studio or write or?
No, what I do, I write at home.
You write at home?
Yeah, I have to write at home. I feel like when I'm writing, it's like a sacred space. I don't like to be disturbed. Like I go into like my little kind of cave in my mind. Even sometimes like Costa, my manager, he's like maybe called me and I'm like writing and stuff and I can be a bit abrasive, a bit abrupt. Because when I'm in that mode, I don't really like to be disturbed. I need to kind of just get this thought finished, like this idea. It's like almost like what's that word when you don't need to be? Like a thought basically, I need to get this out. Because if it gets interrupted, like the next line I had, I may forget it or whatever. Or it may not come out the way I wanted to, you know what I mean? So.
It's like a genius mode at that time, and it's just like
I think at your peak powers.
So did you actually need to hear the beats?
Yeah,
before you start writing, or you start writing straight away without the beats?
No, I need the beat because I think the beat gives me the mood. Like it lets me know the tone of what I'm gonna approach something at. Like, if I'm writing without anything, like it's like. Almost like painting without a canvas. Me writing with the instrumental or the beat or whatever, that's the canvas, and then like obviously it gives me free range to then display my art. So
do you know what's interesting? Apparently And that to me, I can resonate with this anyways, but apparently when you listen to music, it just shapes on how you experience life differently, depending on the music you listen to. Mm-hmm. So hence like what I understand facts. it would shape what you're writing about. I've literally just had a question and I think it's back. Mm. Obviously you said you got inspired by grime music in early days, or you listened to grime music, not inspired. Yeah. What's your three, like, or maybe like even one favorite grime tracks, like from back in the day?
I think, that's a tough one, you know. Okay, definitely P's and Q's. That's up there, man. That's like, cause for me, even still now, man, Kano is like an idol of mine. Cause I think Kano has always been like an artist where he's kind of stood out in terms of, it's like.
He's a legend,
but it's a thing where like, it's almost like in the midst of all the mad guys, he's always been the guy that's almost like had that sanity. Because he's always kind of been the good guy, but he knows the bad guys as well. He's like, it's that balance. That he's like, because even what he talks about, there's when Kano like writes music and stuff, or his music, like the music he does, there's always a sense of like purpose behind it. Mm. Like he's the reasoning behind all the madness kind of thing. Like it's almost like Kendrick, Good Kid, Mad City.
They both seem to have that thing in common where like they both know, like they sense themselves, like they know
there's always that, there's always something you can take away from the music. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like that's one thing I rate Kano from, like from time, like he's always been the guy that's like, don't know, just spoke about certain things with a certain type of lens. Do you know what I mean? As I said again, relatability.
And he's got that track, the Brown Eyes, got me hypnotized, and it's like eyes and that. So
yeah, it's true, exactly. I mean, eyes as well. I mean, so now P's and Q's is up there. I think, what's that track called again, man? Damn, Digital Rascals breakthrough track. I don't know why I can't remember it now, man. Fix Up, Look Sharp. Like obviously, yeah, that was a big one as well, because I think with Dizzy, not only was his voice like it cut through. But like it's funny because when that track came out, obviously it's a banger, but I caught on to his whole project later on. Mm. And with Boy in the Corner, even with like, as I said, it's like the sense of having purpose within your music, like that whole project is like, even the initial track, the first track Sitting Here, you do not expect someone that made Fix Up, Look Sharp, and even all the other songs like Just a Rascal, all them type of songs to start off a project so introspective, like Sitting Here, that track is he's literally talking from someone observing all the madnesses that's going on around. Mm-hmm. And that, as I said, vulnerability, like I think even the last, I forgot what the last track is called again, but on that project, The Boy in the Corner, but he makes himself so vulnerable. So mm-hmm. I think that's what I'm saying, when it comes to artistry, it's like, you have to not be afraid to make yourself look a certain type of way. Mm-hmm. If you care about being a bad guy, okay, it's almost like 50 Cent. To have longevity in music, you can't just say I'm the toughest guy, I've been shot 9 times over and over again. Okay, we've heard that. What's next?
You have to become the master troll.
The master troll. Yeah, I mean, like, exactly, yes. It becomes boring.
There's something that I've seen in social media and stuff. Like people believe like what their music say.
Yeah.
Like they think that it's the real person.
Yeah, exactly.
This is what they've been through, but real person behind the scene that you don't really see.
You're only showing what the artist wants to let you know. Do you know what I mean?
Definitely.
I mean, it's like the same thing as Instagram. It's like you can tie that in with artistry. I'm only showing you what I want you to know.
Even for me, like I'm only showing for my best part. Like there's a lot of work.
That's why I say with people that maybe, as you said, you were talking about the comparing thing. Like, as you just said it now, it's the highlights. Instagram is just a highlight reel. Someone's gonna show you I bought the house. Are you gonna show you when I got declined on my house payment, or when I wasn't able to pay my bill? Or this is a bit sad, but okay, I've got a child now. Are you gonna show when you had a miscarriage? You're not gonna do that. Do you know what I mean? So it's about perspective. When you get older and you realize this is just a highlight reel, there's nothing wrong with it. I'm gonna post my highlights on there as well. But with me, if I want to as well, I'll.
It's like a photo books, like where you show, like, you know, back in the day where we had pictures of like 1990s, like where you have a photo book where you go through them and it was like, this is my granddad, this is how you look back in the day.
Yeah.
But now it's the Instagram. Mm.
Literally, yeah. Literally, yes. That's how we document our lives.
Oh, this is radio now. Podcast is the new radio. Do you know what it is? What's happening? It's like people are having more of a freedom of choice. So like YouTube's the new TV.
Yeah,
like,
facts.
Like where we're heading to, like the next, like what, maybe I say 5 years, no one's going to watch TV channels no more. Like all these like BBC this, BBC that, all dying out. Like,
dying out. That's why they're forcing to get a TV license in.
Like, Netflix is a new cable.
Yeah, the reality is like these guys were too slow to move with the times, and now they're gonna die out. Like the radio, BBC radio is gonna die. That's like everyone's gonna be listening to podcasts. If you get to choose on what you listen to and what you watch, don't you want to have the choice? Like,
true,
of course.
Like he wants to go on a guide or the newspaper to be like, oh, 8 o'clock, my favorite show's coming on. Like to check the time.
Yeah, we don't live by like kind of like scheduled TV viewing now. We live by what I want to do. I've come back from home from work. I want to pause this right here.
Own schedule.
I want to watch this one. I want to skip to the last episode if I want to.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So
go to Netflix and just like,
I want to watch the highlights.
Yeah. Definitely. Like I don't even watch football. Yeah. Like back in the day, I watched 2 hours of football, right? Like 90 minutes.
Yeah.
And then now
YouTube highlights.
Jump on. I don't have time to watch. But I don't have time.
Well, the thing is, you make time for what you want to make time for.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? As I said, like you make the time. If you want to watch 90 minutes of football, you can do that. If you want to watch the highlights, you can do that. But at the end of the day now, you have the choice. That's what the media is now, the choice.
The choice of what you want to do.
That's the where we have more power now as us as the audience, isn't it? So.
Well, look, I was going to say.
Also, there's a con about like social media. It takes like people just. Let's go into YouTube. Let's go dive into YouTube. The algorithm to show you what you're watching, like what you've been watching, what they need to watch, and then it's come up on trending on the explore page. Yeah. You see it, and then like you get distracted easily. I need to press that, even though you don't want to watch it. You just like I click it and start watching it. Mm-hmm. But you get distracted easily with so many contents out there.
Yeah,
do you agree with that?
Yeah, you do 100%. Especially I feel sorry for the younger generation. That's why you see a lot of these younger generation. They have like. The suicide rate is crazy. People like documenting them committing suicide on like Facebook Live. Do you know what I mean? So, do you know what I mean? So, yeah, because obviously if this is all you know, like we grew up in a generation where we still had dial-up internet. I mean, if you wanted to kind of watch something, you had to wait and stuff like that. I mean, nowadays it's like the click of a button. Do you know what I mean?
But so you know what? By the same time, I feel like that was happening anyways. Like I'm not saying it's not influencing on what's happening. I'm not saying that, just to be clear. But at the same time, so what I'm saying, like that would have still been happening back in the day.
What would have been happening?
Like people like doing crazy shit without posting on social media. But the only difference would have been like we wouldn't have seen it. But like now we that kind of like we get.
I think I agree and disagree with that because I think it's a thing where like yes, there's always been madnesses going on in the world, of course, but I feel like this is now another outlet now for that to happen. I feel like
it has given him a lot of people good opportunity and also given a lot of people bad opportunity.
Exactly. Yeah, 100%. You can't deny that. Like I don't even know how many people alone are on Instagram, and if we're talking about us, maybe not us directly, but. I feel like we've all been victims of maybe comparing ourselves to other people.
Well, we do.
Exactly. Yeah.
And so, is it subconscious?
Exactly. Thing? Exactly.
You get what I'm saying? So
if we're growing adults and we're going through that, imagine what a 13-year-old is.
But if you look at what all of these things have in common, every single person is looking for connection. Yeah. It's just the only thing is they're looking for connection in the wrong places. Like you know, like things like Instagram and this and that. That's the wrong. Like obviously, but what's the only thing that I'm seeing is connection. Like that's what.
And then the thing that I would say is like with the social media, we lost the contact of communication.
Yeah.
So we just like let's say I spoke about this in my last podcast. Yeah. Wayne, when I said to him, look, when we go to a holiday, we just post all the good bit.
Yeah.
Do you get what I'm saying? The good bit of like putting a story, like we're staying at a beach or we're just in Dubai or whatever. Like you just post it. By the time you come back home, you don't really say it to anything to your friends or your family.
Yeah.
There's no communication anymore. Yeah, you just ask, how was your holiday?
Yeah.
You said that it was good.
Go watch my Instagram.
Go with my Instagram. Facts. Yeah. So it's detached from a communication. Like we human need to have more communication.
Do you know what?
100%, it's true.
I want to debate that. I want to challenge that a little bit. I don't feel like that's the case. I just feel like that's how some people might use it in that kind of way. So for example, like I feel like because of social media, we can communicate even more.
Yeah.
But the only thing is that I think the issue is how you communicate. So for example, if someone does like do what you said, like they go on holiday, they post it or whatever, they come back, they don't talk about it.
Yeah.
Like that's kind of like, that's the way they communicate, right? Mm. That's not really social media's fault. Mm. You know what I'm trying to say? If that, like, that's my perspective anyways, because I could still go on holiday, post it, and then come back and still talk about it.
Yeah.
But then as a viewer, like there's, let's say you went holiday.
Yeah.
And your mom saw it.
Yeah.
And you saw a picture, you send a picture.
Yeah.
By the time you come home, mom's like, you had a good holiday. Mm-hmm. And that's it. Yeah. And there's no talking anymore. What did you do on next day? What was the following? Did you meet? Mm. Majority families that I've met, like who's like, especially in this modern age, people don't talk about that stuff. That effect, that's a big effect on mental health.
Yeah.
I've got a little question. I think here it's worth also mentioning that there's the case where you go on a holiday or you go on a restaurant on a holiday, and then you take a photo trying to show to everyone, and basically you're trying to please other people, get other people to see what you like instead of you having a good time yourself.
Yeah, 100%. Like we all do it. Like say, like that's why I think even like the last comic show I went to see Dave Chappelle, I think was it in January or December. Like, you can't have your phones in there. But obviously with him,
Dave's just on one anyways.
No, but it's obviously with him, it's like Kevin Hart, I think he does the same thing as well. Yeah. But it's a thing where, of course they're doing it as well because they don't want their jokes to be rehashed and sent around because it's like, they want the experience to be shared in that moment.
In that moment,
yeah. Do you know what I mean? So I agree with that. You know what I mean? We all want to record things to like, say like, look at me, I'm having fun. You wish you were here kind of thing.
I saw a video 2 days ago on my Instagram.
Yeah,
Jamie, pull it up.
About a year ago, like there was a Heady One show.
Yeah.
Where he came out in a Mostak tour.
Yeah.
Everyone like they was just chilling.
Yeah.
And then taking videos of people, and then suddenly when Heady One came out, everyone 99.9% of people had phones on.
Yeah.
They were not actually enjoying the moment. I would do the same. I'm guilty of it too. I'm not saying you shouldn't be doing
it. Yeah, we all do it, yeah.
We all do it at the moment. Like 99.9% of people filming stuff. But I didn't, like, when you go back home, you go through that footage, I should have enjoyed it a little bit more.
Yeah.
Look, it's all about perspective, because I want to thank that 99.9% of people to be sharing that moment with other people. Because some people, for example, for me, I like that stuff. I like that stuff.
The generation that we're living like.
I like that stuff. You know why? Because if you're experiencing something, yeah, and you share on your Instagram, and I see, I'm like, damn, I want to experience that too. You know what I'm trying to say? So it's all about perspective.
And I saw the whole crowd just pull out the phone and then start filming. Like it's just a mad thing when you think outside the box and like back in the day, you actually go to tour and then just enjoy what the artists need to say. But now when we have to take out the phone, you think about how you need to share it.
Yeah, no, it's facts. It's true.
So we don't actually enjoy it in the moment.
Yeah, it's true. No, it's true. Like
you probably experienced that during your tour, during your performances.
Yeah, well, the thing for me, I see it as like you're just showing love. Really, I think it's a nice thing to feel like you deem me important enough, or you deem me you're enjoying the moment enough to pull out your phone. Like, all it does for me is obviously just like help spread the word about me. Like, I mean, I don't take offense to it, but I do understand maybe artists that say, or performers or whatever, that say like, I want you to enjoy the moment, like forget your phones, like, I mean, just enjoy the moment, because it's like the memory in your mind will stay longer than this photo will, if anything. Because I felt
the feeling,
because the photo is really, it's not for yourself really, it's for other people, like it's for other people to know where you're at, know you're here.
Say you're having a show right now.
Yeah.
There's at least 10,000 people watching your show.
Yeah.
So would you rather have everyone have the phone on, or would you rather not enjoy like intimate moment there?
Yeah.
The reason I asked this is, I think it was a Coldplay where he actually gave a wristband to people.
Or Chris Martin,
whoever it was, give a wristband, go into their show, and then they actually put their lights on.
Okay.
And if they want them footage, they can have it, but majority of people doesn't have their phone on. But what would you want in your show? Let's say you have a full capable of controlling 10,000 people.
Mm.
their experience, what would you do?
Obviously, I'm saying this now, but I don't know, in the moment, it could be different. I think it's a, because I've been in shows where, I'm going to get to your answer, obviously, I'm just going to try to gauge it, but yeah, I've been in shows, innit, where it is quite a magical thing when you can see all the lights of the phones, like it's like, you're like, and you're all in unison singing. That's a hard question. But I think it is a nice feeling, I feel, maybe to be able to capture people's attention so much that they do forget about their phone, or they just want to live the moment. I mean, as opposed to maybe, because I've been in a situation where, I don't know, like say Kanye, I've been to numerous Kanye shows, and I can't lie, I have been in a moment where I've done both of them. I've been in a situation where I've held up my phone and recorded, but nothing beats just losing your shit. Like I remember the first time I saw Kanye, mm-hmm. I went to the Watch the Throne tour and I was broke as fuck. My friend Darian Mays, producer, a friend of mine, he was able to buy me a ticket with him as well to go. And I think it was a combination of me being broke and me seeing my favorite artist. And obviously this is at the peak of Kanye's powers, Watch the Throne, all that kind of stuff. And I cried. I was like dancing and singing. And then when he came out, I was like losing my shit. I cried. Like I was like, it was like happy tears, innit? Because I was thinking that I'm broke as fuck, but I'm here, I'm seeing Kanye's shit. Like, and I will never forget that. Do you know what I mean? So when I look back on it, yeah, fuck it. Forget the phone. Just live in the moment, because that memory of me seeing like an idol of mine and seeing one of the reasons why I even started to do music and singing a song, it can never be relived compared to me bringing out my phone and me not even really being in the moment, me just living through my phone. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? And making sure like, shit, my hand better not come off this record button. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, like, yeah, but if you're in the moment, my head is the record button. Do you know what I mean?
Because the reason I asked this, you haven't answered it, but yeah, I'm going to...
I mean, would you
have it? Like, that's what I'm saying. Let's say you have a capable of 10,000 people.
I think you answer it in
a little part, but then I want to
expand on it.
I just want to double check with what you meant. Just double check. So kind of saying you don't really mind, like it's even.
No, I would. Or, I know. I'd rather you just live in the moment. Don't forget the phone.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, because I said that. So you take the phone away from people.
Yeah, take the phone, man. Yeah, take the phone. Live the moment.
And if you want to have content, you will provide the content for them. Like, you have people that will record it for them if they want to buy the show.
Forget that, man. Just live in the moment, man. All of that stuff is just that's trivial. Just live in the moment. Because I said, like, for me, when I was in that Kanye concert and I was losing my shit, compared to me being in another show and I had my phone on me, you can't compare the two. I was so happy in that moment when I didn't have my phone recording and I was just crying, happy tears, like just seeing him and singing a song.
The reason I asked you this question is because I lost my phone when I went festival. Like,
which one?
It's in the park in Scotland.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So what actually happened is you go in, like the moment you start, you put everything, probably drunk or you, whatever you at the moment.
Yeah.
The first thing that you lose your phone or you put somewhere that you don't know.
Yeah.
Your mind is all over the place.
Yeah.
All over the place. It's like, where's my phone? Where's my phone?
Yeah.
The moment of your thinking that, the moment that you're enjoying it, it's all disappear. Do you get where I'm coming from? Mm-hmm. Like, it's like you're not enjoying it anymore.
Yeah.
Like, you go for the purpose of to enjoy your moment.
Yeah, facts.
And then when you have that phone and then like, oh, you need to take a picture, I need to take. But it's also good. It's like you can actually communicate with your friends, whatnot.
Mm.
But obviously, it's the hard thing to connect with. Do you get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
When you lose it, everything, the experience that you're going through, is hell.
Yeah, of course.
Because, like, I'd rather be there enjoying it,
yeah,
having my phone, like, 100% I'm giving in. I'm not here to contact anyone. Like, this is my time.
Yeah.
This is my time to enjoy.
Yeah.
Do you get where I'm coming from?
Yeah.
Like, this is why I ask you this question, because it's powerful to see from artist perspective.
Because
what artists want, it's an amazing feeling. Like, I know you can see the amazing lights, the white lights pointing at you, and you feel like you're the only star.
Mm. It's nerve-wracking as well, though.
It is a big nerve-wracking.
Because the thing where, like, I feel like sometimes as well, when you're performing and stuff like that, you can, those lights or people bringing up the phone to you, you can think, oh shit, I have to make sure that I don't fuck up this moment. Don't let me not forget my lines.
Mm.
But it's also a thing where when you're in that moment as well of just like losing yourself in a good way, in terms of like, say, being so, you and the music becoming one. Do you know what I mean? And you forgetting the people, the amount of people that you're performing to, whatever. There's a thing for that as well. Like, it's a thing where, like, wow, this is really what I'm meant to be doing. This is like, I'm impacting people. I'm like, I'm performing like my idols did. Like, I've watched this, like, I've gone to see my idols or people that I've admired and been inspired by. So it's, yes, it's a...
Well, how was your first performance like? When was your first performance like, first ever?
I performed at like, it was like a hip hop festival in like a uni. Was it Gold something? I forgot what that uni was. I don't think it was Gold. I can't remember. Maybe it was Goldsmith. I can't remember what it was again. But it was like a hip hop event, and there was like loads of performers at a uni, university. It was like break dancers. It was like an open festival, man. It was crazy. It was sick. And I don't know. I think my friend must have messaged me like, oh, I think he was going to the uni. He was like, oh, you want to perform me? I think they've got slots. I know the organizer. Like, I've sent in some of your music and he's down to have you perform. I was like, yeah, man. I need to kind of like get out there, get my chops up and stuff like that. And yeah, I did it. And yeah, like, I was nervous, obviously, but I don't know, man. There's an adrenaline rush, I think, you get from performing, because it's like almost like I have this, I don't know where I got this from, this quote from, but it's like, if you're not nervous about it, you don't care enough about it.
True.
Yeah.
That was my first podcast. Like, I was hella nervous. You was there and I was shitting myself. I was shitting myself. I was sweating.
Even the comfort of your own home.
He was hella excited.
I was excited. Like, you know, now
listen, the sensation of what you feel when you're nervous and you're excited is exactly the same. Yeah. The only difference is the narrative you're given.
Yeah, true. Beautiful.
Yeah, man. Do you know what it is, though? It's like, it's a thing where, like, it's funny because when you think about maybe nervousness to like doing something you want to do, it's like, it's weird. Like, you're putting yourself through the pain of this, but no one's forcing you to do it.
No, even this morning, before you came, right? I was feeling nervous. I don't know what to ask. Like, these kind of things. Like, even I said, I'm going to break you down in certain things. But obviously, I still have the nerve-wracking inside to say that to you.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? Like, I'm nervous. Like, I don't know what kind of topic that we'll have.
Yeah.
What we'll talk about.
Yeah.
Like, it was rushing, even though we prepared for it.
Yeah.
Do you get where I'm coming from?
100%, yeah.
But I'm excited to talk about it. And then I'm being here in the present moment and then discussing.
I think the thought of something is more scary than actually doing it.
True.
Yeah, because as our mind, isn't it? Our mind creates these narratives, goes into a side road. The road is, when you're actually doing it, the road is a straight road.
Of course.
But the mind creates these little crevices, like side roads. It creates the, I don't know, what if this happens? What if that happens? Like, we create these little kind of scenarios in our mind. But when you're actually doing it, it's not that bad.
No, it's not.
Yeah, and no one's, if you really didn't want to do it, just bail out. But because you care about it and you want to provide content or you want to provide a certain service or you want to be able to touch people.
No, I believe that people's stories that matter.
Yeah, know? Exactly. Like, yeah.
Your stories are more powerful because there's a lot of people that doesn't let their stories out. Mm. Like, and I saw myself, it's a good way to connect with people.
Yeah,
because obviously everyone is a learning curve. What you've been through, I'm learning.
Facts.
Because it's better to talk to the person and then learn from them. Like you said the other day, like if the person read 100 books in their lifetime, and then, like, rather than reading all 100 books, you speak to the person.
Yeah.
What he's going through, what his mind look like, the way he think. Because everyone think differently.
Yeah, facts.
So, like, it's the best way that you put it out there.
Yeah, speed up the process, man.
Speed up the process and, like, get into a deeper level. This is why I started the Airtime Prime podcast. Really talk to people, get know their story, share my story, what I've been through in my life. Mm-hmm. Yeah, get to a deeper level and then connect more, really, because since the COVID happened, COVID, I would say. No.
Jeez, man, like, he used to come in through this.
So, like, there's a lot, we don't connect anymore. We're more isolated human beings. You know where I'm coming from. Like, we don't talk. When was the last time I spoke to you? It was probably your event.
Instagram, probably, isn't it?
Instagram. Like, we have no communication anymore. So it's good to connect with people, share your thoughts.
Organically as well.
Organically.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the best way to put it, organic, and then talk to them eye to eye contact.
Yes.
I think there's also nothing wrong with not like connecting or communicating for a while.
100%.
I think what matters Facts. Is the intention. It's like how you Facts. Intend to be with that person when you see that person even a year or 2 years later, you Facts. Know, if you haven't attached any conditions to the Facts. To that relationship and stuff like that.
Like who deserves your time?
Yeah,
like differentiating people that drain your energy or people that build you up.
Exactly.
Yeah, man. And being able to see that clearly now. Like obviously having this time to or this second lockdown that we're in, do you know what I mean? Having the time to kind of like just differentiate between who deserves your time and who you need to maybe stray away from. Facts, 100%, man.
I asked him this question when we started the podcast. You heard the question already.
Mm. Are you a bulkhead? I'm joking.
What show is that again? That's Gasworks. Alhan Jr., yeah?
Do you know why it just came back to my head, yeah? Because I was watching Halfcast podcast the other day.
Which is what?
That's the best podcast. And I was just trying to understand what happened to Gasworks for a while.
Oh, yeah. I saw that.
I was talking about Boiler Room and stuff.
They haven't stopped, have they?
I don't know.
No. Yeah, so what? No, they're done. Like they're done. Yeah. I said like, but they're still gonna get. They're gonna carry on with doing something.
But separate
so
from poet, separate
yeah,
from
but
Boiler
separate
Room.
From Boiler Room because Boiler Room's got politics. But
okay.
If you watch that, yeah, if you watch that,
I'm gonna check it. I'm gonna check it out.
He explains the politics on there, so it's cool.
Yeah, they don't want to get too much into political. The politics are always changing. You know, talking about vaccine. Like, let's talk about vaccine.
Yes, sir.
Let's talk about politics. Yeah. Not politics. let's talk about vaccine. Let's go back there. Vaccine is a hot topic right now. Like it said, COVID vaccine is 90%. COVID vaccine is 90% effective.
Yeah.
Like I asked him earlier as well. If you have your family and your friends that you know and no one died. Yeah. They didn't go through with COVID.
Yeah.
But they said you have to take their vaccination.
Yeah.
Would you take it? But there are also side effects come with it.
No, I'm not taking it. Because the thing with the it's like a flu jab. I've never taken a flu jab in my life. I'm still here. I'm not dead. Do you know what I mean? So it's like the thing is it's just I think if you have ongoing conditions, like I don't know, like if you have maybe low immune system. You suffer from what's that thing again? That you have breathing problems again.
Asthma.
All these things that is, or maybe you're overweight, you're obese. All these type of things, isn't it? Like, obviously, then yeah, it's in your best interest to take it because it's for people that are in aid of it or need of it, shall I say? But people like me, who I'm active, I eat generally well, never had a serious illness in my life. So there's no reason for me to take it, really.
Do you know what? Yeah, though. If you think about humanity before all these vaccines came about, like they survived through all that other time.
Yeah,
before
and
that.
As well.
Right. Let me stop you there. Vaccination has saved polio. If you actually do the research, has saved the polio, and also the Spanish flu when it came out in 1918, it lasted till 1947, I believe, or 46.
Damn.
So like,
well, that's it. Well, we've all been given jabs. we've been given the basics
in the ring and outside the ring. You know what I'm saying? Jabbing.
Yeah, he's funny. He's that guy today. he's established himself as that guy today. But we've all been given jabs and stuff like that. So yeah, it's just about kind of them being smart.
But they are forcing to take jabs to every human on the earth. Like that's what I heard.
Jabs or the vaccination?
Vaccination.
Oh. I don't know how that's going to work.
They're saying like that's in the UK, in the UK, everyone should have a vaccination by end of like upcoming summer.
That's against the human right, isn't it? We all have choice. I mean, so that doesn't make sense to me. I never knew that.
That's what they're talking about. I don't know the full detail. I don't want to get into it, but that's what I know. But this is what I'm asking. Would you take it if they're forcing you to take it? But before you go traveling, you must their vaccination.
Well, it doesn't really
matter. That's what they're trying to say. You have no choice, but would you take it though?
Oh, you're saying that they'll check like if before you even board a plane,
It's like a travel vaccination.
Yeah,
thing.
It's like it's a basic check now. Yeah. I don't know. I just find it weird, man, because people are traveling now, even now to this day, without no vaccination.
I had to take a few vaccination before I went traveling for
what vaccinations were they do?
Hepatitis A and B, and there's a yellow some yellow thing. I can't remember top of my head right now. But when I went to
Summer Fever, is it? Summer Fever, isn't it?
Have to take that. I had to take it. Like, it was like, without this card, you can't get into Africa.
But it depends. It's all relative to where you're going, though. Because those type of things where it's like, it's to protect you. Whereas this is like, because you're going to a place maybe that has maybe high risk of that, or I don't know. It's to protect you, isn't it? And you know the reason as to why you're taking it. Whereas I see this as like another form. It's another form of flu, basically. Mm. Do you know what I mean? And I feel like.
But then they would say it's to protect you as well. Like, they will use.
As I'm saying, but it's a thing where I feel like. The thing is, this is what I was going to say before as well. I feel like if we become like a nation that we just take something new happens again and we take medication for that, our bodies are not going to build up antibodies and build up strength enough to deal with these problems by itself. We're gonna weaken our immune system. We're gonna weaken our bodies as a whole. You need to sometimes go. You know when you go through a flu, and you've had that really bad flu, or whatever, and it's like when you can have a flu again maybe a year later, but it's never the same as that one because your body has built up. It's built up a system where it's never going to get to that stage again because it's allowed itself to go through the motions, isn't it? Like you have to allow your body to go through certain things in order for it to build up strength. If you don't allow it, then when it hits you, you're finished. You know what I mean? If you don't allow your body to go through what it needs to go through, I mean, and we're young, man. Do you know what I mean? We're young. We're not. I haven't personally heard of anyone super young that doesn't have any prior illnesses that's died from it. Mm. I don't know. Have you?
I heard it on The Sun. Like newspaper.
Someone that didn't have no issues beforehand.
I have no clue.
That's what I'm saying. Like you can't. I don't.
There was one kid that went to school and he came back and he died from it, but I don't know if he had that.
Part. Yeah, but how old was he though? That's what I'm saying. You're young, isn't it? You're young.
Did you know what I heard is like the people that are dying.
Yeah.
Like they had a COVID 6 months before, and they died with a car accident, a heart attack, whatever.
But it'll be put down as COVID.
That's
incorrect.
That's madness for me.
Yeah, it is.
And they confirmed that recently as well. I've been saying that for time, that literally the person could pass away from any other issues, but they were just treated as a COVID death. And that's what they did at the start of this year.
The thing is, there's a higher play in this anyway when it comes to this COVID, because I've even watched, I forgot what I said, Dr. Fucci or something like that. I've watched the documentary.
I know what you're talking about.
I've watched certain documentaries and stuff like that, and when it comes to medication as a whole, man, that's a $1 billion business, man. So the reason why maybe some of these deaths are being pushed as well, like COVID, the person died from COVID, is medication equals money. So the more people that need vaccinations, or the more people that have died from this, it's more money is going to be put into the hands of these people that are manufacturing the drugs that they say possibly will provide the immunization towards COVID, isn't it? So it's all a higher play, man. It's all money, man. Money that's involved in it as well. So
I'm not the biggest conspiracy theorist.
Same.
But then if you look at who's profiting during COVID, it's like all these big companies like Amazon and so on. Like they're just, you know.
So what were you saying earlier?
No, I was just saying about like the money, innit, man? When it comes to vaccinations, it's all a money play. Like it's all like to do with like, say like, higher ups, obviously, we know, obviously, when it comes to drugs and manufacturing them, and it's all like, it's a $1 billion business, isn't it? So that's why possibly, when you were stating before that someone could have a car crash, and let's say they do have COVID, but they'll be put down as a COVID death, because it's all to put, it's propaganda, it's to push the narrative that COVID mania, like it's all this, I mean, so it's, I feel you should have your own kind of brain when it comes to these type of things, man, like, yes, obviously, COVID thing is real. I'm not saying I don't believe it's not real. I definitely believe it's real, but I do believe it's being pushed in our eyes. Like, so I don't know. They're pushing it like kind of like making it a higher narrative because it's a money play also as well. There's money to be made here. a new disease and a new drug that needs to be created. That's a lot of money, man. That's going to be made a lot of money.
You know what?
So you think COVID is a brand?
No, I don't think brand.
Like, when I say brand, is in like you see when the first lockdown happened, for example, everything people did or marketed or whatever, they had to
mention. They had slogans and that.
Because that would be.
Is it like
a hashtag? You know.
It is a hashtag, of course, but I do.
Friendly toilet paper. I'm not saying there is.
But no, but I do think COVID is real, isn't it? Like that's why, like, I thought you'd be a fool to move incorrectly and feel like you're impenetrable. Do you know what I mean? I think you'll be a fool to do that. But I do think it's being pushed more so. But yeah, no, just move carefully, man. Just move carefully and inform yourself of as much as you can in it, really. I mean,
I think for me, the best way I learn is through experience. So I remember the first lockdown, I was just out there all the time.
Yeah.
Just to, and through my experience, I've kind of learned just actually that this whole thing is like, I'm not saying it's not real either, but it's just a little bit of exaggerate. I think there's a lot of exaggeration around it. Yeah.
Also, the masks went up like ridiculously, and the people making so much
money. I mean, hand gel, masks. Masks became part of PPE.
Yes, sanitizer selling for like £10 in shops. Yeah, something that cost 50p. Do you know what I mean?
Back
in school, you used to sell like chocolate and crisps. Now they're selling hand sanitizer.
It's crazy. Yeah, it's literally, yeah. Everything's a hustle, man.
It's about money. Like, without money, we let's talk about money. Like you said, would you, if the world didn't have money, would you be doing what you'd be doing?
Oh, if there was no money involved? Yeah, facts. Because for me, as I said, I haven't profited like off me doing my music anyway, and I'm still doing it. So like, I'm in the midst of me doing it more so for the love now. I feel like if I do get anything from music, it's a bonus. Do you know what I mean? Me doing what I do, as I said, is more for not the reaction, but more so for the feedback I get from people. As I said, when we started the podcast, with me, people telling me how I've impacted them with my music, and me being someone that I feel like I've always wanted to be, from people that I've idolized, isn't it? Like, so no amount of money can compensate from someone telling me that I'm a hero to them or I've created something for them that they listen to daily. I mean, or someone telling me that they felt that and they resonated with it. No amount of money. The money was for me will be a bonus. If it was about the money, I would have stopped a long time ago. If it was about the money, I should be a millionaire by now. So I've been doing this like since I was 13. That's over 10 years. So, yeah.
Do you have a question? No?
I have a question. No, not really. Do you know what? I did want to ask you though, as a creative person, like, what's your definition of creativity?
That's a good question, man. I think my definition of creativity is expressing yourself externally from what's going on internally.
I love that. Yeah. That's a sick definition.
I think if you're able to
I'm gonna take that and run with it. Yeah. I delete this episode.
Copyright. Yeah. That's
and also, what happiness look like to you?
Oof. I think happiness is self acceptance, man. I think if you're happy, I feel like you're content.
Happiness or inner peace?
Yes, linked.
I'm saying, which one would you choose? Happiness.
Oh, or happiness inner or peace? Inner peace. I think they're both linked, man. I don't think you can have one without the other. You can't have inner peace and not be happy.
But then, can you still have inner peace and like be sad?
No. There's no way you can have inner peace and not be sad. I don't think that link.
That link, yeah, I can.
There's a link. I think happiness ties in with inner peace.
So
happiness look like to you? Like, can you be happy 24/7? Like, people are like, oh yeah, I need to be happy 24/7.
But it's impossible. Yeah. I think living for 29 years, I think the one thing for me, I think you have to experience the lows, and I've had them, as I explained to you before, and then be able to relate that to being happy. Like, I've been in low spots before where I didn't even really even want to be here anymore, as opposed to me being in a space where like I'm actually like content. Let's say I'm with someone and I'm at a space where, because I've maybe been in a bad relationship before, and I'm experiencing contentment in this new relationship, whatever. Do you know what I mean? When you're able to maybe relate to, I was at this space before, and how I'm able to relate this happiness is because I've been in that low space before, which makes me appreciate this good thing even more so now. And I don't ever want to go back to that anymore. Mm-hmm. So it's all relative. I wouldn't, you know, it's cliche to say, what's that saying again? I wouldn't take back anything I've done that's happened to me or whatever. But it's true, man. When you're able to live your life like, and experienced maybe a bad breakup, family situations, growing up in a single parent home. All these things, I feel like, I thought about this one day, I said it to my brethren, I was like, who knows, like, obviously now I've got a good relationship with my dad and stuff, well, better relationship with my dad, but I'm just saying, like, imagine, I said this to my friend, I was like, let's just say I had my dad here, I could have grown up to be a dickhead, I could have grown up to be, like, someone I don't like. Do you know what I mean? But I'm proud of who I am, even like, in the midst of all the things I've gone through.
Should be proud of
who you are. Yeah, but as I said, it takes time to get to that level.
Yeah, it does.
Do you know what I mean? You can be to say where you're like, always downplaying yourself and you don't have confidence in yourself. You're low self esteem. Do you know what I mean? We all have those moments where you have to kind of go through certain things to be like, I know who I am as a person and all these type of things. But in order to get to that, you have to go through the trials and tribulations. Like that's just life. Like. It's all relative. Everything that you go through is all relative to your story. That's how I see life. It's like a movie. That's how I choose to see my life. My life is a movie. I'm the main character. I'm the main character. 100%. And all these things like
happening is like
what film or show do you watch and everything's perfect? That's a shit show. The best parts of the film is like, oh shit, that happened. Oh shit. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, you watch the next episode to see, oh shit, is he gonna get through that?
That's what they
shout out Game of Thrones, isn't it? But.
Yeah. So that's how I choose to see life.
I haven't even seen a Game of Thrones, to be honest. Like I only watched first episode and then like that's that, man. Like,
what?
It didn't connect me.
Have you watched the whole thing?
The last season was just terrible.
That was terrible.
To build up the whole show to that, yeah.
Yeah,
it was the first part of the conversation. Wait, what else says about the conversation?
Anyway, like if you have to tell your like younger yourself, what would you tell to him? Like,
I think you've asked me this before as well, but I can't remember what I said. But I think
younger yourself, like let's say, how old are you now?
29.
And let's say when you're 20, like
yeah,
what you experience right now?
Yeah.
What would you tell him? Like Anthony, da-da-da-da, where is that?
You'll figure it out and it'll be all right in the end. Yeah.
Perfect.
That's what I say, man.
That's nice.
But what would you tell your future self, though?
That's a good one as well, future self. Future self. What would I ask myself? I don't know if I'd ask myself anything. But I think if I was to tell my future self anything, I'd be like... I think I would say, give me a second in it. I think I've got what I want to say in my head in it, but
it's hard to come out. I'll say,
shit, I got a muscle. I think I've got it in my head, innit?
It's hard to come out of where, bro.
From the mouth, like from your brain. That
yeah, exactly. It's coming. I mean,
and then come out.
But I think I would say that.
Hey, wait! I can't breathe. I think I got COVID.
COVID.
I used to. Oh my god.
Still waiting.
Yeah. That was a really good question though, but I think I would say my future self, I think I would say enjoy it. Because I think the thing is, you know, we all have this thing in it, like when you're young, you want to be old. When you're old, you want to be young.
Yeah.
Just enjoy it, man. Enjoy it, man.
Yeah, like, this is what I would say to myself. I was like, be at the present.
Yeah, literally, that's there.
Be present, man. Yeah. Go with what you have.
Yeah, man.
And you'll get what you want.
Yeah.
But go with what you have.
Yeah. And it's also that saying as well, you know, they say, you did your, like, this is, I love this quote as well. You did your best at that moment. You did the best you could do. Whatever it is, you did
like
the best
you
could do.
And what you had.
Yeah, you did the best you could do, man. Like with your situation at the time, what you're going through, whatever, you did your best you could do at the moment. If it was meant to be like how it was meant to be in your mind, it would be like that. But however it is, you did your best at that moment. That's
but
it.
But like, you know what? Yeah. It kind of goes back to like you're saying, like a lot of people have been through stuff and I feel like things can either make or break people. But it always depends on how people process it. It's like what you're saying, it's like you did your best. And
yeah, yeah. 100%, it's perspective, isn't it? But hindsight and perspective is only something you gauge through time anyway. Mm-hmm. Hindsight and perspective isn't about something happening to you now. It's about maybe a year from now being like, oh, that happened. I did the best I could at that moment. Move on.
So it's like, there's like little seeds always being planted.
100%, yeah. Facts.
It's good to have a...
It's like a trail. Like little, like, it's like you're leaving a trail behind. That's what life is.
Every little things add up to what you want in life.
Yeah, like, yeah. Yeah,
because your destiny will follow that. There's a quote that I love where Steve Jobs said, "Don't connect the dot by looking forward. Connect the dot by looking backwards." Amazing thing.
Say it again.
So basically, don't connect the dot by looking forward.
Mm.
Connect the dot by looking backward. Basically, what you've done, try to connect where you are.
Mm.
Do you get where I'm coming
from? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So like where you are right now,
this
is where you meant to be and to go where you need to be.
Yeah,
there's
a
friend that I was talking to yesterday. I was like, I'm 27, like there's a society say you shouldn't be married at 24, 25.
Or too young or too old.
Too old, like there's a discussion to be made.
Wild.
But that's a story for another time, I would say.
24 is too old. Like, bloody hell.
And yeah, this is why I say, like, don't try to connect the dot by looking forward.
Yeah.
Like reflection is the most important thing that people can do.
And this is the time for it, man.
This is
the time to like reflect, man. Facts.
I mean, we're reflecting right now. We're reflecting each other onto each other by having this conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Go on.
Now, I want to say...
Rock, paper, scissors.
I want to say, like, because time is getting closer.
Mm.
And I'll say, if you got anything to say to the viewer, if you've got anything that's coming down, I know you just released your single right now.
Yeah.
On top.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen it, go check it out.
Yeah.
And if you have any more coming out, what's coming ahead?
I'm working on a project at the moment. I feel like with this project now, like, it's weird. Like, I don't know. Like, I feel like it's like, okay, the project in it, the title of it is, I have for it is Introvert, Extrovert. Do you know what I mean? And I feel like we all have like introverted moments and extroverted moments and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So it's about the balance of that. But it's weird because within my life now, I feel like certain things are changing. So I feel like the content I have, it may change in it. And it's weird because I think projects that I've had before, it's kind of been set in stone in it. But I think with this one, because I feel like this year has been a crazy year anyway, but I feel like certain things are changing within my life and stuff like that. So I think certain things may change in it in terms of maybe the content. But that's the title I have for it now, Introvert, Extrovert. But it's just about kind of just maybe tying into things that may be going on internally and externally, kind of like how those different experiences shape us in it, basically.
Do you know what, I wanna give you like a gift,
Ooh.
Like what would the message be to your future child or children? So the maddest thing is, like, obviously this is gonna be like, we're gonna record this, put it on YouTube, whatever.
Yeah.
By the time they're born and they get older, they can watch this.
Later. Yeah.
And then you can be like, I thought about you guys at that point before he was even born.
Damn. What I'd say to my future child, man, you're gonna make mistakes. You're gonna go through hardships, but just know you always have a boulder to rely on. I mean, you're never going through this life alone. I mean, I think that's a key thing. I think sometimes when you're going through things, I know I've felt maybe sometimes as well that I've felt alone in it, and sometimes you don't want to burden your brethren with certain things, but I feel like when you have that constant in your life, like a parent should be your constant, then you never feel alone in it. You always feel like I can make my mistake and always have someone to rely on. And not feel judged.
We're not alone, man. Whatever we go through, we're not alone.
I love that, bro.
Yeah. But no, but I feel like...
Yeah, I love that way he's...
I definitely feel though, like your parent, that's your first friend, man. That's your life source.
Yeah.
Mm. No one will compare to your... No matter how close you are to a brethren, no one should compare to your parent. Mm. I mean, if you've had a good parent, that is. Because we all know, we've heard horror stories.
Yeah.
We've had horror stories. But but more so... For the most part, yeah, like you have a constant in me, basically, yeah.
Well, so where people can find you, like let's say obviously, your music and your stuff. Yeah.
Just type in Anthony Yan. Anthony. The thing is, like, it's weird. Like in my artist name, it's Anthony asterisk Ant.
Okay.
But in some like say Apple Music is just Anthony Ant. They didn't want to bless me with my asterisk, but anyway. Yeah. But on Spotify, Anthony asterisk A-N-T Ant. Instagram, Anthony underscore Ant. Twitter, Anthony Ant Music. And yeah, that's it really.
I think, thank you for coming.
No, thank you for having me, man.
Yeah, man, let's bring the clap.
Safe, man, appreciate it. And I think I need this talk more than you needed to interview me, you know? Yeah. It's Monday morning, you know what I mean? Monday, that means I needed this. It was good.
And then thank you for listening, the viewers. And hopefully you guys enjoyed it. And go find him. He's a great artist. And he's going to be great, become greater. Creativity take time. So go out there, go support local friends. And then who's trying to make stuff work. And listen to his project. You might enjoy. You might not. And get good feedback.
Nah, you're definitely going to enjoy it. Don't put that energy out there.
If you don't enjoy it, go see a psychologist or something wrong with you.
That's the energy we need. I'm joking. No, but it's facts. If you like it, that's just life. That's it.
Thank you for watching. And a peace. And I will see you next one. Stay tuned.